today as we come to the table.
Notice this, it says Jesus made his disciples go into the boat. He put them in the boat and sent them into the water, knowing he was sending them into a storm. He knew that. Now think about that. You think, Lord, would you ever send us into a storm on purpose? Absolutely. Why? To learn those things we've already talked about, but to work things out in us that can only be worked out in the storm. If you're in a storm right now, God has sent you in it, and there's something that he's working in your life that's the only way he can do it. If you're like me, you're thinking, Lord, is there no other way? You know, can't you just like find some other way to work this up? No, because if there was another way, God would do it. He's gracious. He's merciful. And if he's going to have to use a storm, God will use a storm.
Everyone goes through storms in life. Some are more intense than others. But we all experience difficult times. Blue skies turn gray. The wind kicks up and the waves start tossing the boat around like a little toy. Pastor Mark teaches us in today's message that it's times like these where our faith is tested. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. I don't know about you, but I think most of us prefer smooth sailing. I think most people would like to kick back on the cruise ship until they reach their destination. But sometimes God has another plan. Sometimes he sends us right into that storm because that's when his power gets revealed in our lives. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus, chapter 4, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
All right, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up first to Exodus chapter 4. Now, we're going to be in Matthew, so you can put your finger in Matthew 14 or be ready to turn there, but we're going to start in Exodus chapter 4. As you're finding your way there, I want to read a few verses to you out of Matthew, and then we'll go back and lay some groundwork and jump in and show you why we're starting there. But it says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before them to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and they said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Father, we thank you, Lord, that in the midst of the storm, you are faithful to come to us and calm us. But Lord, we thank you that you're going to show us today that the entire time you are watching us and you are praying for us, and at just the right time, you will come to rescue us. And maybe right now, maybe this day is the moment of rescue. And Lord, maybe there's going to be a little delay, but I pray that as we go in your word and see what you were teaching the disciples and how you dealt with them, that you might bring hope and encouragement to your people today. So Father, we ask you pour out your spirit on the teaching of your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you guys can see in Matthew 14, stay there in Exodus, but we're going to be looking at being sent into the storm. But I've also given it a subtitle that I put in there myself, not for you to see, but called Revealing the Supernatural. And that is, we're going to see today what it's like to go into a storm and how God uses storms in our life and how he used it in a disciple's life. But also God is going to be doing something else. The Lord is going to be revealing the supernatural. And that is, he's going to be showing them, I am a God of the supernatural. I operate in the supernatural. And he wants them to grow and to know that they can also operate in the supernatural. And so we'll see that as this bears out today. And again, kind of spend some time talking about that. But as we look at storms, storms are something that none of us really like. It's hard to go through a storm. It's really hard to go through a storm if you realize that Jesus sent you into it. And that's what we're going to see today. Jesus is going to send the disciples into the storm. And by the way, if you're a believer and you know Jesus Christ, he controls everything that happens in your life, which means if you are in a storm today, he sent you into it. Now, that may not sound very encouraging. That may be discouraging. You may be in real darkness and real worry and real concern, saying, why would God, if he loves me, send me into this storm? Because as I said, he wants you to learn about his faithfulness, and he wants you to learn the supernatural and how he rescues us in the midst of the storm. You know, the Lord eventually gets us out of the storms that we encounter, but we have to recognize that he sends us into the storms to change us. Now, what are some reasons and purposes for storms? First of all, storms drive us to the Lord. Have you noticed when you go into a storm, you start being driven to the Lord more? I have. Maybe we're getting a little bit lazy. Maybe we're not seeking God like we should. And a storm comes along, and the first thing we do is begin to seek the Lord. That's a huge thing God uses in storms. Another thing God uses, he drives us to his word. It might be that we get a little bit lazy. We're not really reading the Bible like we should. Or you know what? Maybe we've never really read the Bible very much. And all of a sudden we have these storms and we're trying to understand, what is God doing? What is God saying to me? What am I supposed to learn in this? And we're driven to the Word of God. Another thing that happens is we're driven to prayer. And that is, you know, there's nothing like a good storm to get you to pray, you know, and to cry out to the Lord. I've shared with you guys, I was caught in a blizzard one time, and I didn't know if I was going to get out of this blizzard. The traffic, 5 miles an hour, you can see nothing but the taillights of the car in front of you, and it went that way for like an hour and a half or something, and it was getting worse and worse. We didn't know if we were going to die there or get out or whatever. And I can tell you, my prayer life was increased, you know, and so it drives you to pray. Another thing that trials do is, or that storms do, is they teach us to trust. And how do they teach us to trust? That is, as we watch God be faithful, then the next time a storm comes, we trust him more than we did the last one. Because you see, by the end of every trial, what trials prove and what storms prove is they prove God's faithfulness. If you're in the midst of a storm right now, I can promise you the Lord will get you to the other side of it. He will be faithful. He will deliver you. And you might be saying, well, how long do I have to wait? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe today's the day that the Lord delivers you. I don't know. But I know that he will. And you're going to see his faithfulness. And you're going to grow in trust. And you're going to grow in seeing God's power in your life. And these are some of the main purposes that we see when it comes to storms. They're not fun, but they're the training ground for the Christian. Now, as I said, the second thing we're going to see today in the supernatural realm is that what the Lord wants to do with the disciples is he wants to teach them that he is a God of the supernatural and he operates in the supernatural. And again, for some reason, there's a lot of people today who are afraid of the supernatural. As a matter of fact, I'm currently writing another little booklet for you guys and for whoever else wants it called The Fear of the Holy Spirit. And that might sound like an odd title, but a lot of us have grown up having a fear of the Holy Spirit. Even mentioning that, you may have a fear of the Holy Spirit. There may be certain aspects of the supernatural that you're afraid of. But what we need to learn and what the Lord wants us, his disciples to learn, is that if you can find it in his Bible, if you can find it in his word, it is God doing it. Don't be afraid of it. You're going to need to operate in the supernatural individually, and you're going to need to operate in the supernatural with those around you, or you're going to be an ineffective Christian. And yet there's this fear. Now, where does the fear come from? I think oftentimes the fear comes from seeing people that have been very emotional and abused the gifts, or maybe abused the power of God. They've presented the supernatural in a way that, quite frankly, looks scary. And quite frankly, it comes across in a way that makes people, a lot of people say, I want nothing to do with that. That doesn't look like God to me, because it's not being used biblically. But when God operates in his power within the confines of his word and operates in the way that his word says we're to do it, it's a beautiful thing, it's a powerful thing, it's a life-transforming thing, and has an impact on the world around us. As a matter of fact, one of the big differences that we should see in the body of Christ that's different from the world, we should see God's supernatural power. If we're not seeing God's supernatural power working among us, then how are we any different from the world? And I had two people come up. One came up and said, remember we prayed for healing last week or whatever, and you prayed, God healed her, my dad. I said, I walked out of the church and I got home and God healed me instantly. And she was just rejoicing with me about how God had healed her. It had nothing to do with me. It was her faith and taking God at his word. Had somebody else say, remember I told you that I lost my job and I didn't know what I was going to do because of all this stuff that's going on in our culture. And I didn't know how it would be. And you told me to, when we prayed together and all this, she said, God did a great miracle. She began to tell me about the miracle God did. See, these are just testimonies I hear on a regular basis as a pastor. And I should be hearing that. And I should be seeing that. People should be getting healed when we pray. People should be experiencing the supernatural. Don't be afraid of it because some people are too emotional and do it the wrong way. Allow God to work in your life. We have to learn this as believers. Jesus knew that his disciples had to learn this as well. And it wasn't just the disciples that were afraid of the supernatural. It's not just sometimes us, depending on our background. Even our church background, we can be taught to be afraid of the supernatural. But God has dealt with this in all of his followers throughout history. Another one is Moses. And that's why I wanted you to go to Exodus chapter 4 first, because I wanted you to see when God called Moses, God said, Moses, I'm not only going to call you to go and deliver your people, but I'm going to teach you about the supernatural, because I'm going to use the supernatural in you, in the people of Israel, and as a testimony to Pharaoh. And you've got to lose your fear of the supernatural as long as you know that it's me. And as long as you know that it's my word, and he's going to reveal to Moses that it is. Let's look at what happened. Here's the setting. Moses is watching the sheep out in the wilderness. You know the story. God is now calling Moses, and he sees this burning bush. And so what does he do? He goes to it going, why in the world is that bush on fire? And as he gets closer to the bush, he finds out, wait a minute, this is no ordinary burning bush. This thing is not burning up. It continues to burn with the same intensity, the same flame. The tree's not disappearing. There's something odd about this. And then God speaks to him. Can you imagine being Moses, how shocking that was for suddenly the voice of God to come out of this bush? And of course, we envision this big echo voice. And if you saw, you know, the Ten Commandments, then it was this big echo voice. I suspect it was really more of a very normal voice. It may have been something more dramatic. We don't know. But it tells us in the New Testament that was Jesus that was speaking to Moses. So Jesus speaks to Moses from this bush and says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, you know, and Jacob. I'm your God. I've come to rescue the children of Israel. And so now he gets over the shock of this supernatural event that it's new to him, that he's never seen anything like this. And while he is digesting that, the Lord is going to freak him out with more supernatural things. Now, the Lord wasn't trying to freak him out, but the result is he's going to freak out even as the disciples will freak out today at the supernatural, and maybe the same way some of you have been freaking out about the supernatural. But he wants Moses to get over it, and he wants us to get over it and to trust him. And notice what happens here in chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to me. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. We would say a walking stick. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Can you imagine? And look what happened. And Moses fled from it. Now, I can't blame him. It's like he puts down his rod. It becomes this serpent. Ah! And he takes off running. I get this picture of just sandals and dust, right? And he goes the other direction. And probably what this was a cobra. Why do we believe that? Why, when I say we, scholars believe, I'm not a scholar, but you read the commentaries. I agree with the scholars, because this was the snake of Pharaoh. This Pharaoh would even wear a headdress that had a cobra on it. So this would have been a snake that would have been especially important to Pharaoh and made an impact. This was probably a cobra. And cobras can spit venom, and they can do all these things. I mean, they're very fearful creatures. Something that stands up and fans out like that. I mean, this is a very fearful sight. And he takes off running, again, kind of humorous, but not. But God's teaching him to trust that it's him. And so now the Lord calls him back. We don't see what happens between verse 3 and 4 because it doesn't give us the details. But if Moses ran away, God had to say, hey, Mo, come on back. You know, he had to say, look, come on back, come on back, come on back. So Moses works his way back. And notice it says, the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. And he reached it out and caught it by the tail, and it became a rod in his hand. He said that they may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out. And behold, it was restored like other flesh. Now that would have been freaky. There's no cure for leprosy. He's like thinking God says, all right, put your hand in there. Well, this is God. Certainly nothing bad could happen. Take it out. Ah! You know, this white, horrible, leprous hand. Put it back in. Okay. Now take it out. Ah! Wow! You know, I mean, what's amazing about this, you talk about Moses and his fear initially of the supernatural, and specifically, I don't know, maybe he didn't like this particular sign. We never see Moses use this. He never goes to Pharaoh. You know, this would have been my favorite one. Hey, Pharaoh, yeah, that's right. But I would have been like to everybody, you know, talk to the hand, right? You know, they've been like this whole thing, right? But he never used it, and that shows me there was something about it that scared him. You know, what if it doesn't, I don't know, I can't say. You're thinking, my thought, what if it didn't go back? You know, what? Who knows, whatever. But he never used that again. But notice this, he feared them both. He feared the leprosy and he feared the rot. And when I get this picture of Moses in my mind, God showing him his supernatural and Moses running off. And then God has to coax Moses back in and say, Moses, this is me. And then I think about Moses slowly creeping up and seeing this serpent raised up and knowing it could like spew venom and this thing is deadly and all this kind of stuff. First of all, getting the courage to get back to that. And then God saying, all right, now I want you to grab him. You're like, what? Yes, grab a hold of him because this is me. And it may look scary to you, but I want you to grab it and by the tail. I don't know about you. I'd want to probably lasso it around the neck is what I'd want to do. Grab it by the tail and so the head can still move around and do a lot of damage. And he does it, and it turns back into a rod. And as he's catching his breath, and his heart rate no doubt is very accelerated, this is the lesson that God was teaching Moses and the lesson that God is teaching us, and that is, look, I want to operate supernaturally in your life. I want to give you gifts. I want to do things beyond your belief. I want to do that. But if you run from it all the time, if you're scared from it and you're always nothing but sandals and dust, I can never use that in your life. I want you to trust me. Is it in the Bible? Yes, Lord. Do you trust me in that? Yes, Lord. Then stop being afraid. Believe everything I've given you in my word. I'm giving it to you for a reason. I'm going to give it to you for my glory, and I'm going to use it for my glory. And God will begin to do things supernatural in our lives through the Holy Spirit if we trust him. But again, I think this whole running from it, God had to work out of Moses because he was going to do a whole lot greater things supernaturally than this. Well, now that brings us to the story, and you can turn now to Matthew chapter 14 as we get ready for this, because this is a lesson the disciples needed to learn as well. They also feared the supernatural. They were on the hillside, and God supernaturally took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands of people, way more than 5,000. That's how many it mentions, but that's just the men. That didn't include the women and children. We talked about that. Well, that would be a fun supernatural miracle. I can imagine skipping around going, whoa, hand out this bread. That's kind of a fun thing. Well, now we're going to see a scary supernatural thing, even as Moses saw a scary supernatural thing. And the Lord's going to let his disciples know, both of them are me. Both of them are me. And the more you learn what my word says, and the more you learn how I operate, you're not going to be afraid of me anymore. You're going to trust me. And there's some of you that need to hear that. You've been bound up in fear of God's work and the supernatural in your life, and God is trying to take you to a new place in your walk. But if you don't let him, he's not going to let you. We're going to see Peter in just a moment has a desire for the supernatural. He's the one that steps out of the boat. The others stay in there. I'm not saying they didn't eventually learn it, but I want to have the same spirit Peter did. I want to say, Lord, I see what you're doing, and I want to be a part of that. Again, not something man-made, not something sensational, not something showy. That's not how God works. But the true power of God in the confines of his word. And so now they finish the feast on the hillside with the bread and the fish. The day is far spent, and that's where we take up here in chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Now notice this, it says Jesus made his disciples go into the boat. He put them in the boat and sent them into the water knowing he was sending them into a storm. He knew that. Now think about that. You think, Lord, would you ever send us into a storm on purpose? Absolutely. Why? To learn those things we've already talked about, but to work things out in us that can only be worked out in the storm. If you're in a storm right now, God has sent you in it, and there's something that he's working in your life that's the only way he can do it. If you're like me, you're thinking, Lord, is there no other way? can't you just like find some other way to work this? No, because if there was another way, God would do it. He's gracious. He's merciful. And if he's going to have to use a storm, God will use a storm. He sends them into the storm knowing he's going to do this work into them. And notice what he does. And by the way, if God says, he said, get in the boat and go to the other side. It tells us later he was sending them over to the other side of the lake. Again, if God says, get in the boat and go to the other side, guess what's going to happen if you get in the boat? You're going to make it to the other side. The Lord's not going to send you on a journey to destroy you. He's sending you on a journey to grow you and to teach you and to get you to the other side. And notice also it says he sent away the multitudes. And again, they obviously had to go back to their homes and all that. But there's more going on here, it tells us in Mark. They were actually trying to make him the king of Israel right then. They were saying, you're our king. We're going to make you king right now. He said, whoa, it's not time. It didn't time for me to be king. You guys go on home and we'll worry about this later. He had a specific time he would proclaim himself king, and he won't come back to be king until he comes back in the second coming. But they saw the miracle of the loaves and fish, and plus they had a great meal, and you didn't eat that good in that day. And also, make him our king. He's going to not only do miracles, he's going to feed us well. So a lot of flesh involved here in their motivations. And notice that when he sent the multitudes away, look at this, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And these mountains surround the Sea of Galilee. And when evening came, he was alone there. Now notice this, after he knowingly sent them into the storm, what is the first thing he did? He began to pray for them. He went up on the mountain. Now we know he could see them as they were crossing the lake. How do we know that? This was the time of the Passover, it tells us in another gospel. And the time of the Passover means it was non-rainy season, non-cloudy season, and full moon season. So whether it was a total full moon or just moons on either side of the full moon, you would have been able to see bright moonlight all the way across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, and so it's easy to see across it. You can see very easily. You go up on the mountains that are around it, you see all of it, you can look across. Here's the point. He's up there watching them struggle, and we're going to see the battle. They struggle for hours in this storm trying to get across, not a rainstorm, but a windstorm, and they're struggling for hours, and he's up there going, Lord, bless Andrew, strengthen him. Father, I pray for Peter. He's going to ask to get out of the boat. And so give him courage, grow his faith. Lord, I pray for, you know, he's praying for each of them. Lord, use this for my glory. Let them see my power. Let them understand the supernatural in their life so I can use them in greater ways. He's willing to bring them to a new place in their walk and their relationship to God. But he's not only praying, he's also watching them. Here's my point in this. Those of you that are in the middle of a storm, he sees you. He's at the right hand of the Father right now watching you. He is praying for you. The Bible says he ever intercedes at the right hand of the Father. Can you imagine? Think about your name. He's up there in heaven going, you know, Lord, you know, help Mark right now. He needs your help. I mean, he's struggling and do whatever the case might be. God is praying for us. He's doing this. He's watching and he's praying. So I want you to know this. He's watching you and he's praying for you right now in the middle of your dark, scary storm. And at the right time, he's going to come to you. And at the right time, he's going to deliver you. And we're going to see he does that for the disciples today. And of course, the night for them. But that's encouraging to me. And notice it says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So this wind is blustery. They're fighting against the storm. They're rowing for hours. We're going to see in the next verse, he says it was the fourth hour that he came to them. That's between the hours of 3 and 6 a.m. He started them on this journey after supper, after dinner. So they're traveling this whole time for hours and hours and hours, struggling in this storm. They are physically tired. They are emotionally tired. They're psychologically tired. They're drained in every way. And this is what the Lord allows them to get to before he rescues them. Now, why do I say that? Some of you this morning are drained physically. You're drained emotionally. You're drained psychologically. You feel like there's not another step you can take. And those of you that aren't there, there may be some that are real close. The Lord is allowing it. He is going to reveal himself at the right moment in power, in glory, deliver you, bring the calm, as we'll see happens, so that you might grow and that you might know his power and authority. And the next time a storm comes, you're going to say, you know, this is still not fun, but I saw what you did last time, and I'm learning to trust you. It's a matter of maturity. It's a matter of growth, and it takes place over time. And also realize when you go into storms, the wind is going to be contrary. That's what a storm is. You feel like everything's against you. It's like Jacob where he said, all things, you know, work against me. And God's in heaven going, no, all things are working for you, Jacob. All things are working for you, regardless of what it looks like and regardless of how it feels. But notice also it says they were tossed by the waves. Again, this is interesting when it speaks here of being tossed by the waves, because the word toss speaks of a special stone that they would use, and they would take metals and you would rub the metals up against this stone. It was a black stone, and you'd rub the metal up against it for a couple of reasons. You would push it up against it and put pressure on it to find out what color came off. Then you could tell what was actually the color was of the metal. You could identify the metal by recognizing its colors. In other words, God was sending them into a storm so they could see what their true colors were.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today, but seize this moment to draw closer to Jesus right now. Will you come and sit at the teacher's feet with us? You know, Matthew was close to Jesus. He actually walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, and traveled with him. And in this verse-by-verse series through the Gospel of Matthew, Pastor Mark is taking us up close and personal with Jesus and the disciples who followed him. And together, we'll see Jesus tell stories, perform miracles, astound the people, and frustrate the religious leaders. We'll witness Jesus dying on the cross, experience the despair and fear the disciples felt that day too, and then we'll see him rise triumphantly from the grave. To listen again or share with a friend today's message, along with many others, can be found at thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Once you're there, you simply need to click on the Come to the Table tab. Listen, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out and make sure you're staying grounded in God's Word by reading the Bible every day. Allow Jesus to grow you as you draw close to Him daily and be willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared our next verse-by-verse review of the book of Matthew. So put your bookmark there and make sure to join us here the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.